This is Cross Currents. I'm Hannah Baba. Last year, Americans spent over $22 billion on video games. It's a mainstream pastime, not just for teenage boys playing war or sports games. In fact, women make up almost half of gamers, and the most frequent female player is on average 43 years old. There's no denying video games can be fun, but what happens when gaming takes up most of your time? There's debate among mental health practitioners about whether to consider compulsive video gaming a disorder that requires psychiatric help. But one thing they do agree on is that too much gaming can be detrimental to the well-being of young people. Dr. Min Tan is a San Francisco psychotherapist and computer engineer. He specializes in treating kids and young adults whose lives have been impaired by spending too much time gaming. I visited his office and first asked him, at what point do parents bring their kids in?
Mostly, if for adolescents, is at a point that parents first feel like there's something off, that my kids should not just stay at the room all day, play this video game. Initially, because it's on the computer, most parents, oh, he's doing his homework, or he's just taking a rest, right? So that's the difficult part of distinguishing the appropriate usage of internet versus addictive misuse of internet. So that's kind of the term I coach parents to see that. So then usually for adolescents is when their grades coming really down and the school being alerted, then the parents realize, oh, when my kids is there, he's not doing his homework, he's doing something misuse or inappropriate use of the internet. So that's when usually at the point the parents bring the kids in. Another sense, the parent could feel kind of there's some personal connection between the kid and parent, also kind of downgrading.
And then they come to you and you do what initially? What's the first step in what you do?
I think first thing I kind of want to assess what is the surrounding environment of the kid. Because there's got to be some reason for the kid that the virtual world is more attractive than the outside world. How did that happen? You know, so then initially, like, oh, the kid's kind of attracted to computer. Great. Hey, it's Silicon Valley, right? Why not? But then they don't realize they substitute their world in the internet to the real world.
And when you look at that, how much is too much?
I think that to me is we are still looking at, are there impairments of the functioning? Is one domain or multiple domains. That's still, I think, very valid to assess.
What do you mean by domains?
Yeah, so there could be personal life is one important domain. For adolescent, then the school is another important domain. Then it could be even multiple. If the kid's used to very attracted to sports, then all of a sudden he doesn't play anymore, then the extracurriculum environment is also important to assess. So I usually look at not just, a little lower functioning, but impairments, like, grades significantly dropped, relationship with parents or your girlfriend, because mostly a young man or significant others are just significantly decreased, or the working performance at job function really raised to a level even manager has to intervene. So that the impairments are important to be the point of assessment.
And so what really are the psychological effects then of internet quote-unquote gaming disorder? What is the real harm?
Actually, the most research I saw looking at when you get a like from Facebook, as innocent as anything, right? We got likes, usually don't get dislikes, likes from Facebook. Surprisingly, the wave pattern of the brain is very similar when a cocaine addict get a hit of cocaine. Yeah, that's as alarming as that. So I think our brain and the mind so attracted to anything can get little boost. So then when the video internet gaming certainly have a lot more boost. The image is really like a movie-like quality. And you can make a story that you are the hero of the whole world. So just they're comparing that with the like of Facebook. But the wave pattern very similar to for cocaine and to get a hit of cocaine. So you can imagine the physical and mental impact. And certainly, you know, for the clientele I saw, parents do report clearly about, you know, lack of energy, mentally so thinking about video game all the time, just like, you know, substance addiction addicts thinking about a substance all the time. So it, the effect is very significant.
And so then, what is the therapy? How do you help these people?
You know, for adolescent who, if coming in really at the level, sequestering themselves multi-days in the room to play video games, and the parent truly need to be involved in the treatment process. And for the, you know, significant cases, I even really at the beginning will ask the parent to cut off internet when they finish their homework. So, but if you take away something, you got to replace something to serve the similar function, right? So a lot of the adolescent truly using the video game as a way their personal life. It's really the multiplayer setting that you communicate with the companion players. We are as a team to compete is also the attractive part. So I also very much, you know, work with the family and the adolescent to looking at, you know, yeah, are there any your real friend in the real life we can, you know, help you to connect with? So there's some real life social interaction kicks in. So now once they went through the initial period of get used to not to play video game, not at all for some of the severe cases, then we can talk about, you know, what are the thoughts and feeling preceding you want to click that button and play video games? And then help them to realizing that's kind of the difficult feelings and the thought patterns you're using the video game to kind of soothe down. And are there any other ways for you to soothe those difficult feelings and challenging thoughts? I also adopt a mindfulness practice. So let's say sitting meditation. I always start with, you know, these younger adults, adolescents with 3 minutes sitting. So they actually aware, oh, my hands want to go to their mouse is not because video games attractive. I aware my sadness comes or my thoughts of I'm just not that capable of other things coming up. So the awareness of the triggers. Then for the public health level, the awareness that there is such process addiction exists. And we need to educate the public, the parents, the adolescents, the younger adults, that we created a world when these kids born at age 2, 3 now, they have a laptop or iPad or the cell phone. Then this world is just native to them. We used to have a term, say you and I, we probably, you know, maybe me, I had internet at age of 27. So I'm an immigrant to the virtual world. But for these kids, they grew up, as soon as their world starts, the internet is real to them. So they are, to them, it's real world. They are native of their virtual world. So it is really up for us to increase the awareness to the parents, to the school system, to, you know, the mentor of the young adults, to let them realize it's not the real world. It's a virtual world. And the real world is very different. Our eye contact, handshakes, real breathing the same air has such a different quality versus just hand motion, text messages as the communication. So we really need to educate kids, adolescents, to realize that, the differences. And that's key, I think.